My name is Sidney Alastair Swaby. I'm the only child of Tom Boy Swaby and Mary Rennick Swaby. I was born 17th of March 1942, Dunbar, East Lothian, Scotland. At the time, my father was with the British Army prior to his embarkation to North Africa with the torch landings, and he went to Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and eventually Italy. During this time, my mother and I lived with her sister and brother-in-law and my cousins Stuart and Walter at Dunbar. When father was demobbed in 1946, he had the chance of a job on the railways at either Tweedmouth or Berwick-on-Tweed, with the chance of a railway cottage at Sprowston near Kelso, which we took.
Can I stop you there? Just tell me more about your dad. In the sense that, was he living at home when you were born? Or had he already gone away?
Well, he was in the army. He came back on about a 3 or 4 day compassionate leave. He then had a leave in the June. And then he had embarkation leave in the August. And then he was gone. And he came back in September 46.
So you were four then when you really got to know him?
I was 4.5 years old when I first really got to know my father.
What do you know about where he was born and brought up?
My father was born in Driffield, East Yorkshire. He was the fifth child of Thomas and Annie Swaby, who at that time had the licence for the Bay Horse Hotel, Driffield. A few weeks before my father was born, his father died. As far as I know, of the influenza. His mother subsequently died when he was about 3 years old, also from influenza. He was the youngest, as I said, of the five children. The eldest son, Harold Swaby, eventually went into the Merchant Navy. His next son, who was Sidney, Thomas Swaby, stayed with an aunt and uncle in Driffield. That couple have had a son and a daughter. And the daughter, who would be Sidney's, the Swaby's cousin, is still alive in Driffield. She is 94. He had two sisters then. One, I think, went to Canada with her family and eventually came back. And the other one went to live in Leeds. My father went to stay with, he was brought up by a cousin of his mother's and her husband, who were Rachel and John Stockhill, and he was the porter crossing keeper at East Heslerton, either East Heslerton or Heslerton Station.
Right, so the name Swaby then is an old Yorkshire name then?
It's an old Lincolnshire name. There is a small village in Lincolnshire called Swaby. My dad's grandfather was from Lincolnshire.
So he'd migrated north? Yes. To work in farming or what?
Yes, they were all farm people until the dad's own people went into the pub in Driffield.
Right, so your father then, Tom, he grew up in reduced circumstances because his father died. And he was brought up by these people who worked on the railway in East Yorkshire.
Yes.
Tell me a bit more about that. So your father's interest in railways and working on the railways started there.
Yes. Well, my father, being brought up by an aunt and uncle, who he did call mother and father, because he was only 3 years old when he went to live with them. They had two elder sons, much older, because they both, Cyril and Robert, they both served in the First World War, so they were much older than my father. They were all railwaymen. His adoptive father was a railwayman. His two cousins, who he called brother, were both railwaymen as well.
And that would be the North Eastern Railway then, in that part of Yorkshire?
Yes, it would be, yes.
So he got the bug, as it were, for working on the railway by being brought up in a railway family?
More or less, but there again, I couldn't say, because he never mentioned it. I always presumed he just went on the railways because his father and two brothers, as I say, father and two brothers, but really uncle and two cousins, were on the railways.
Do you know how old he was when he started work?
He was 15 years old. And he started work at Scarborough. So that would have been 1923. And he worked in Scarborough until he was 18 years old or 19 years old. I'm not certain on that. But due to retrenchments on that railway company, he had the choice of losing his job or moving to Scotland.
Do you know what his first job was?
Booking office clerk, something like that. And he moved to Gullen, or Gillen, whichever way you like to pronounce it, in East Lothian. And then he also worked at Innerwick in East Lothian. And it was in East Lothian that he met my mother. They were married in 1933, and just before they were married, he was then transferred to the Parkston Quay, Harwich, where he worked as a customs clerk.
Right, so that was quite a big leap then. It's quite a move, quite a long way to move in 1933.
It was, especially for my mother. Having not been out of East Lothian, other than going down to Yorkshire, it was a big move for them. And they were there until 1939.
What was your mother called?
My mother's full name was Mary Thompson Renwick.
R-E-N-W-I-C-K.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And Thompson without the P. In Scots. And they were there until 1939, and at the outbreak of war, Parkston Quay was closed, taken over by the Royal Navy, and my father was transferred up to Birtley in the Newcastle area, where he worked until about 1940, when he was called up into the army.
Do you know what jobs he did? You said he worked. Do you know what job he did at Gillen and then in other parts of Scotland and at Parkston Quay, what the jobs were he did?
Well, at Gillen and Innerwick, he would have been a booking office clerk or just a general railway clerk. But at Parkston Quay, he was a customs clerk.
Did he talk much about the work that he had to do as a clerk? Did he ever talk about the paperwork? And
no, very like little, that? Very little. Very quiet East Yorkshireman he was.
The strange thing was that I always thought he was a Scotsman.
Really? No, he was East Yorkshire.
Okay.
Yes.
He got married in what, 1933?
Yes.
Do you know why it took them so long to have you?
No idea. No.
It wasn't a thing about they didn't have enough money or a
proper
position
to do with,
like
no,
that?
No, nothing like that. No, no.
Right.
No. I mean, I do know for a fact that the job he had at Parkston Quay was a fairly good job. I mean, it was a clerical job, but as Mum once told me, there was often quite a bit of overtime with it. And it was it came in very handy.
And do you know where they lived in Parkston?
They just, yes, they live in Felixstowe. They had a flat in Felixstowe. And that's all I can tell you on that one.
Right. It does seem an amazing, to us, I don't know, we travel around the world now, but as you say, for your mother to move that distance, was it a bit of a culture shock for your mother moving down south?
It was a very great culture shock. She once told me in her latter years that she used to have to pluck up courage to go into the shops because, one, she didn't understand them or the people that served her, and they didn't stand her because she had would have a strong East Lothian accent at the time.
Yes.
And it was over the years that she really started to get rid of it and speak with more of an English-type accent, or understandable English.
Did she ever develop a Yorkshire accent?
No, she never developed a Yorkshire accent.
How did your mum and dad meet?
Now then, from what I understand, they met at a dance. They met at the Innerwick dance. That's all I know. Because my mother worked in service in North Berwick. Her parents actually lived in Innerwick. And Dad was working in Innerwick, and he was boarding in Innerwick. So that's how they met at the local dance.
Did your mum ever describe what kind of a young man he was?
No.
Was it? And what I'm getting at is that he was always, to me, a very well-dressed and dapper gentleman.
Oh, yes.
He was small, but he had a kind of authority with his station master's hat on. And he was very disciplined sort of looking bloke.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was always a smart dresser. There's no two ways about that. But I couldn't tell you anything. No idea, no.
So what happened at the beginning of the Second World War then?
At the beginning of Second World War, 1939, when they were living, or he was working at Parkston Quay, and they lived at Felixstowe, the outbreak break of war, the Royal Navy took over the Paxton Key because basically all the commercial trade was with Germany and Holland. So that was cancelled immediately. And father was transferred to Birtley in the Newcastle area as a clerk. And in 1940, he was called up for the army. He had hoped to get a clerk's job in the RAF, but he got a gunner's job in the Royal Artillery. But after a year, he was transferred into the Royal Engineers, into a railway battalion of Royal Engineers, which he stayed in for the rest of his military career until 1946.
And where did he serve in the war? Just briefly, where did he go?
He was involved in the torch landings in North Africa. And to the best of my knowledge, even though I've searched his military record, they don't give you much. They just say posted overseas. He went to Morocco, then to Algeria. He went to Bizerta in Tunisia. And then he was round Naples way in Italy. And I think he may have ended up near Venice, but I'm not certain on that.
And did he see much frontline fighting?
No, none whatsoever. No. Well, he never did talk about it because it was a bit of a thing he didn't speak about, although he was mentioned in dispatches for distinguished and courageous service or something like that. But it doesn't say in the military information that I got, it doesn't tell you why, when. It does. It just says in the Mediterranean field of activities.
And he didn't talk about his service, his war service very much.
He said he's mentioned in dispatches for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, and his name was not pulled out of a hat. He was very adamant about that. But that's all he said about it. In 1946, my father was discharged from the army in the September. Mother and I were living in Dunbar, where he came back to stay with us. He had about 4 or 5 weeks leave before he had to go start work again. And he went to Edinburgh to the personnel department of the railways there, and the best they could offer him was a job. It was either at Tweedmouth or Berwick-on-Tweed as a clerk. I think it was Tweedmouth, and I think it was a goods clerk. If we wanted a small cottage, a small railway cottage at the village of Sprowston, which is near Kelso in the Borders, which they took. And we moved there, I would say, October 1946.
And can you remember going there yourself?
I vaguely remember moving there, but after that I can remember quite a bit. We lived there. It was a row of cottages of about 6. It was just facing the railway line. And my father started work. It was either Berwick-on-Tweed or Tweedmouth, but he also worked at Norham and Cornhill. Cornhill was the station for Coldstream. And I think he spent more time at Cornhill. Now, with him having served in a railway battalion, his grading was increased each year. So that even though he went in as a grade 4 clerk, he came out as a grade 2 clerk, as if he'd still been on the railway. So that he didn't sort of lose service on the railway. I remember reading this in the military things I got, that his classification was increased automatically. Mm-hmm. So from living at Sprowston, my father got the station master's job at the then station at Leggate, which is on the outskirts of Consett in County Durham.
But let's just stay in Sprowston for a second. Yes. That was quite a remote part of the world then in those days, wasn't it? It's quite a windswept Scottish or border countryside.
It was. It's 3 miles outside Kelso, but of course there wasn't much, there wasn't many buses into Kelso. And in the winter of 47-48, all the bridges and the track between Berwick-on-Tweed and Edinburgh Waverley were damaged. And all the mainline trains came through there, going up to Waverley through Peebles. And they used to crawl through big engines. I remember that. Oh, and I remember He came home from Cornhill to have lunch once, a thing he very rarely did. And it was in the winter. And suddenly the train was leaving Sprowston Station. And he ran out the gate and he couldn't get to the platform or anything. He ran along the side of the train, jumped up to get on it, fell, got up again, ran and jumped onto the train. So, but we got a message. A message was sent back from Cornhill Station to Sprowston Station to say that it was all right. Because we watched him falling off and getting up and running along and getting up again. What else? Oh, we were there during the bleak winter of 47, 48, when a lot of the area was just underwater. A lot of it. The River Tweed, I think, rose 16 feet or something like that.
It sounds as though he was a very dedicated railwayman.
Very much so, yes. Uh-huh. Very much so.
It was his life as well as his job.
Yes, it was, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And he walked like a railwayman.
What do you mean?
Well, the length of the sleepers, the distance between the sleepers, that's the distance he walked, yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
So Sprowston in 48.
Yes.
What happened after that?
2 years in Sprowston, so this would be about the middle of 1948. It was near the end of the school year, so that would have been about July we moved to Leggate, which is just outside Consett. We had then the station house, which in those days was in Plantation Street, Leggate. It has long since been demolished, and the station's been demolished. There's nothing there. But it was a small station, very few customers. There was my father and a porter, a lorry driver that used to come out from Consett and take parcels round the area.
Was it another remote place? Consett, yeah. It sounds industrial to me.
Yeah. No. It was a big mining area. Been mining, yes. But it was a quiet station. Not many people used it. It was easier to use the bus service and that sort of thing. And we were there for about 2 years. So we now come to about 1950. 1950, I think that's about 1950. My father then applied for two jobs. One was a station master, Pateley Bridge, and the other was for station master, Methley North. We went and had a look at Pateley Bridge, and I, as a child at that age, thought it was a magnificent place to go to. We got the job at Methley North. So never impressive. But at Methley North, we lived in the station house there, which was on the, all in the booking office.
Right, okay.
All joined into one.
So your father was working through the period when the railways were nationalised, when it went from being the London and North Eastern Railway to British Railways in 1948. Can you remember anything about that change? Did it affect your father very much, as far as you can remember?
I can't really remember anything like that. No. No, to me it was just always the railway.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything at all like that. No.
Because that change that you're talking about, he would have been moving from the northeastern region in Consett to the Midland
Railway
in 48, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Midland Railway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was actually moving divisions, as it were.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
there must have been something, even though it's British Railways in those days, he was allowed to apply for jobs kind of further afield. That's what I did. Was that something in the reason he got Methley as instead of Pateley Bridge, do you think? Or you just,
no,
you don't know
no.
why?
Anyway, he gets the job at Methley North, and not long after that, Pateley Bridge was closed.